1 Corinthians 3, verse 5 to 11. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labour. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jenny. So that was a reading from the Bible, from a letter written by Paul, a man called Paul. And we're going to have a think about what that might mean for us. And I want to start by asking you this very profound question. Do you know who these people are on the screen? Have you any idea who they are and what their job is? Yes, at the back. They are from Blue Peter. So that's the first part of the question. Now, what year or decade, let's start with decade, what decade are they from, these Blue Peter presenters? 1990s, okay. Does anyone want to get a bit more definite and think about what year this photo might have been taken? It was taken in the 1990s, and these are indeed Blue Peter presenters. I assume everyone knows what Blue Peter is. Yes, yes, okay. 1993, very close. 92, correct. And the reason I show you this picture is because in 1992, I, the Reverend Phil Carman, was on Blue Peter. Yes, indeed. There was laughter and woos. I was looking for the woos, not the laughter. I was on Blue Peter in 1992, and I was singing and I was dancing. And it was amazing. I'll tell you how it happened. Okay, I was part of something called the National Youth Music Theatre, which was an organisation that got young people together who liked singing and dancing, essentially. And we got to be in different shows. And we were in this show called Ragged Child, which is a bit like Oliver, you know, it's kind of about poor people in the kind of 19th century. And we were in this show, and this show was, we were getting flown out to New York to do this show by this woman who had lots of money and a charity that she wanted to support. So we were about to be flown out to New York. And before we flew out to New York, we went to London to BBC Studios, and we got to be on Blue Peter. And it was an amazing experience. The most memorable thing for me is not getting my Blue Peter badge, which I did get, but I actually lost. I know, I didn't even get into any museums free or anything. I lost it anyway, but that wasn't the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing was that when I walked from our changing room, we're in like a big room in the BBC getting changed, we're walking down the corridor, an old man was walking towards me, which isn't particularly remarkable, is it? But this old man was wearing leather trousers. That makes it a bit more remarkable. And as he walked towards me, I realised that this old man wearing leather trousers was Tom Jones. Sir Tom Jones. And it was just so bizarre, because he's a really old man, and he's wearing leather trousers, and he's in the BBC. Anyway, the reason I'm telling you all this is because I was on Blue Peter for about, I don't know, 2.5 minutes, and I was this kind of little figure walking around with my shoeshine box, being a little shoeshine boy. And I could say that the reason I was on Blue Peter in 1992 was because I was just so gifted and talented that the BBC had to broadcast my gift and my talent, but actually that's not true. The reason I was on Blue Peter, and the way that it happened, was so much more than about me. It was about the National Youth Music Theatre, getting young people together to do a show, to writing this show, writing the songs for it, teaching us the songs, teaching us the moves, you know, choreographer teaching us the dance moves. It was about the BBC existing in the first place and then having a programme called Blue Peter, which liked to highlight young people, and then inviting us on. And then there were cameramen there, there were directors, there was the very good-looking presenters were there. There was this whole thing, and I was a tiny bit in it. And if I was to say to you it was all about me and my amazing talent, I would be lying, because it wasn't. There was this whole thing going on. And the reason I tell you this is that Paul, who's this man who's writing this letter that we just heard, is letting people know that it's not all about him or anybody else, that actually there's a big thing going on. Paul, in this letter, says this. He says, I planted a seed, Apollos, who's this other dude, he watered it, but God has been making it grow. We are God's fellow workers. I planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but God makes it grow. Paul is wanting to say that I am part of what God is doing. I'm a small part of this huge, amazing thing that God is doing. Now, when Paul writes, I planted the seed, he's not talking about farming. He's talking about the seed, which is a message. He's saying, I planted a message. The message that Paul had was about a man called Jesus. And this letter was written not long after Jesus had been crucified. The story that we remember at Easter, not long after that event. And Paul is carrying this message saying that this Jesus who's just been crucified is not just another man who has died. This Jesus was someone special, and in fact, he hasn't died. He has come back to life. Now, that's remarkable anyway, isn't it? If someone said to you, someone's died and they've come back to life, that's pretty big news. But actually, that's not even the news. The news is the fact that what this has done, this man dying and coming back to life, changes everything, says Paul. Nothing is the same now, because it wasn't just that a man died and then came back to life, which is amazing. It was that a man died and came back to life, and in so doing, destroyed evil and destroyed death. Now think about how significant that is. If you know that evil and death have been destroyed, you live your life differently, don't you? Because we live in a world where we're aware of evil. You know, we see it on our newspapers, you know, on our screens. We're aware that evil is out there in the world. We're also perhaps aware that evil can be inside of us. We can be selfish. We can make the wrong decisions. We're also living our lives aware that death is inevitable, that actually death is going to happen. Now, imagine you're living at the time when this letter was written, when there's a Roman occupation, when the Romans are going around killing people, and their weapon is death. But imagine if you learn that actually death has been destroyed. So the very thing that they have power over you by, this thing that we can kill you and we can destroy your life, that itself has been destroyed. That is the seed that Paul is talking about. He's saying that sin, this evil that's around in the world and within ourselves, has been destroyed, and death has been destroyed, because when Jesus came back to life, it wasn't just about him having life forever, but it was about all of us being able to have life forever through him. That is the seed that Paul is writing about. I planted the seed. Then he said, Apollos watered it. So Apollos is this other man, and his job is to, once these people have heard this message about who Jesus is and how significant it is, about the fact that death and evil has been destroyed forever, Apollos' job is to get those people together and to encourage them in their faith, to say to them, we need to live differently now. We need to start loving people. We need to start giving. We need to start pooling our resources and helping people who don't have enough. We need to start loving people because love has won. There's been a battle between hate and love has won. So we need to start living this way. And so that was Apollos' job. His job was to encourage people in their newfound faith. But Paul says, don't make it about me, the one with the message, and don't make it about Apollos, the one who's encouraging you, because it's not about us. It's about God. See, this church in a place called Corinth had become to disagree with each other. Some people had said, well, I follow Paul. I think he's the best. And other people had said, no, I follow Apollos. He's better. And Paul is saying, it's not about that. You're missing the point. It's not about either of us. It's about what God is doing. It's so much bigger than who your favourite speaker is or your favourite church leader. It's, or your favourite Christian author. It's not about that. It's about what God is doing. It's so much bigger. And then he says, we are God's fellow workers. Paul is saying, we all get to do this. Don't make it about Christian superstars. We all get to do this. We all get to be involved. Paul carries on. He writes this. No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul talks about foundations. Now, Jesus told a story about foundations, and you might know this story, even if you don't come to church very often or at all, you might have heard this story. It was a story about two men, and one of them builds his house on rock, and the other builds his house on sand. And the bad weather comes, the wind like we've had today, but even worse, and the rain comes, and the house that's built on the rock stays firm and stays up. But the house that built on the sand can't take it. The bad weather comes and it crashes down to the floor. Now, that story that Jesus told stays in your mind, but he's not telling you to stay in your mind so that you know when you build your house what kind of foundation to build it on. He's not talking about house building, although that's important too. He's talking about life building. He's talking about what are you going to build your life upon? Are you going to build your life upon something that is firm and strong, or are you going to build your life upon something that shifts and moves? Notice something about this story. With both houses, whether you build on the rock or on the sand, both houses experience bad weather. And that's the same for us in our lives. If you build your house on Jesus, on a firm foundation of who God is, you're still going to have the bad weather. Life is still going to be difficult. I'd love to be able to stand here and say to you people, maybe who aren't Christians, who don't go to church, say, if you give your life to Jesus and if you start coming to church, everything's going to be fine. You're not going to have any problems in your life. And you're going to be smiling every day. But that would be a lie. Because it's just not true. Because being a Christian doesn't mean that life is easy. The difference is that being a Christian makes is that your life is on something firm and strong. And that when the hard times come, because they do come, when the hard times come, you have something underneath you which is strong, which can ground you. Whereas the house built on the sand has no structure to it. It can't withstand those bad things. That life, if we build our life on things that move, if we build our life on money or trying to be liked or trying to be popular or trying to look good, if we build our life on these things, then they shift and they move. And we know that, don't we? You don't need me to tell you that. We know that. We know that we need something stronger. We need something more permanent. Paul says, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Paul is saying that Jesus is the very thing that we build our life on, the very thing that we build our church on. So when we're talking about church, we can try different things. You know, we can have a screen and a drum kit. You know, I can dress up as a flamingo. We do whatever we want. We can change things, but ultimately the foundation remains the same. We are still building this church on the foundation of Jesus Christ that we've been doing for 2,000 odd years. Because that stays the same. Everything else can change, but that stays the same. So my question for you is, what are you building your life on? What foundation do you have? Are you building your life on a firm foundation that is Jesus? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died and rose again so that we could know you in this life and in the life to come. We thank you, Jesus, that you took on the powers of evil, the powers of death, and overcame them for us so that we no longer have to be bound by evil, by hatred, by sickness, but you have made a way through for us. And Lord Jesus, I pray that we would build our lives on the firm foundation that is you. That you would help us, Lord, to know you as our friend, as our Saviour, as our Father, and that our lives, when we come up against the wind and the rain, when our lives are battered by the hard things that happen, we would remain strong in you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.